In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing eternal life. We have a good opportunity today to talk about the Feast of Resurrection, since we didn't get a chance the last couple of weeks. And as you know, the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. So I think it's important that we spend a few minutes talking about it. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then why are we here? I mean, here we are celebrating, worshiping the Lord on Sunday. Why Sunday? Because Christ rose from the dead on early Sunday morning. And so our faith is futile if we don't believe in the resurrection. The church, in her beauty and wisdom, continues to celebrate in joy the resurrection for these next 50 days, the holy 50 days. Even in the Western tradition with the Roman Catholic Church, they also have the same Eastertide, I guess is what they call it. They also have the same feelings of joy because we like to wallow in the glory of the resurrection. As I've told you in the past, the church doesn't like to leave a feast quickly. It likes to stay in it and enjoy it. And so we are living now the life of the resurrection. And the resurrection of Christ is a stepping stone to our own resurrection. In other words, because he rose from the dead after robing himself in humanity, in our bodies, we also will rise with him. And the resurrection is a source of peace, as Christ, as he came to the disciples afterwards and said to them, "Peace be unto you." It's also a source of joy. Why joy? Because death is no longer, because sin has been conquered, because the devil has been overcome, because Christ overcame the world. And so we also, when we join him, we overcome the world. So it's a source of hope for all of us as well. Hope in eternal life. Hope that we don't have to live the misery of this life eternally. We live here temporarily, like passing pilgrims, and then we have all of the existence of eternity in the eternal kingdom of heaven. The resurrection is the proof of our faith. The resurrection is belief in a spirit that will never die, a spirit that will never perish, which is the way that we were created from the beginning, to be immortal. We were created to be immortal until the fall. But Christ came and redeemed us by his precious blood on the wood of the cross, and now we have a chance to be immortal once again in the kingdom of heavens. You know how you can tell a Christian from anybody else? There should be joy emanating from their face. That's the way it was in the early church. You can tell a Christian from anybody else because they were smiling. They were happy. Why were they happy? Because of the risen Lord. And they would greet one another saying, "Christos Anesti, Christ is risen." Because the light of Christ was in them, and people saw that. And you can't help but smile if you have Christ in you. Why did we have this procession today, and we'll have it in these 40 days? What does it remind us of? Just as Christ was among his disciples after he rose from the dead, Christ is also among us. He is among us. And for that we are grateful, and we are joyous Christians. Why is the church draped in white? It's not always like this throughout the whole year. Why? What does white symbolize? It's a new day. Like a new day has dawned. Just as Christ rose from the dead at dawn, the new day has dawned. A new life has dawned for us. No longer do we have to live in corruption. Now we put on incorruption. So our Savior Jesus Christ died for the salvation of mankind. But it was appropriate for him to rise quickly. But some might ask, how come he didn't raise himself from the dead just after the first day? Why did he have to wait 3 days? Because there are some that didn't believe that he actually died. There were some that thought it was just a hoax, an illusion. And so for him to stay in the tomb for 3 days, it confirmed his death, that he actually died and he actually rose from the dead. And then you might ask, how come he didn't stay longer than 3 days? How come he didn't stay dead 5 days, 10 days? Well, I'll tell you something. Because it's not appropriate for his holiness to see corruption. It's not proper for his holiness to see corruption. So he remained in the tomb for 3 days, which confirmed the truth of his death. And also, it wasn't too long that he had to see corruption. His resurrection confirmed his divinity, right? Fulfilling all of the prophecies. I'll read to you just a couple of them. Remember when our Lord Jesus Christ said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up? And the people said to him, what? We built this temple, it took us 46 years. And you're going to destroy it and build it again in 3 days? No way. He wasn't talking about that temple, was he? He was talking about what? His body. His body. For this was a prophecy that was fulfilled. Also remember he said to them, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, and so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He fulfilled that prophecy once again. The resurrection gives humankind hope for eternal life. You know how soldiers in battle, they follow their leader to the end. The same do Christians. They follow their leader. And if the head of the faith and its perfection, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, if he lived a life estranged from the world, we also live a life as strangers in the world. He rose from the dead. We also are going to rise with him. Just as it happens to the head, it happens to the members, so that he might be the firstborn among his brethren. So he might be the firstborn, that he raised himself from the dead, among his brethren. Who are his brethren? We are the body of Christ. We are his brethren. And for the sake of this hope, we as Christians, we struggle. We tire ourselves. We suffer. And we are persecuted. Why? Because he did that first. He went through all of that first. The martyrs, I don't have to tell you, they delivered their bodies to hunger and to thirst and to cold and to fire and to the sword and to all kinds of torture for the sake of the hope of the glorious resurrection. They knew what was coming to them after they would be killed. What happened at the time of our Savior's death? I think it's an important point to cover because some people get confused. On that Good Friday, as he was hung on the cross, he was crucified at the sixth hour. And when did he die? Which hour? At the ninth hour, right? Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What happened? His soul separated from his body. But don't get confused. That does not mean that his divinity separated from his humanity. No. His divinity remained with his body. His divinity remained with his soul. But his soul left his body when he died on the cross. And where did it go? Where did his soul go? It went down to Hades. Good. Just like we say in the liturgy. His soul went down to Hades. Remember, his soul was still attached to his divinity. And so what happened? His divinity lit up Hades and brought joy to all of those that had reposed in the Lord, hoping for his coming, and he brought the good news to those who have been deceased, and he raised them up with him. In his descent to Hades, he didn't descend like a meek individual as we saw him entering Jerusalem on a colt, on a donkey. No, he descended as a king. He descended as a victorious king who had conquered what he came to conquer. And he brought hope and he brought salvation to those who were waiting for him. So those saints down there, if I can use that expression, they rejoiced because they saw the victory and the triumph of the Lord. And so they caught wind of the news of his resurrection before those that lived in the world, because those in the world didn't find out until when? Until early Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and found it, that he wasn't there. So he did that. His soul went down. After that, his soul went back and returned to his body. He gained a brilliance. He gained glory. And then the Lord of glory came out of the tomb while the doors were shut. Well, does that remind you of anything, that the doors were shut? It's the same way he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary while the doors of her virginity were shut. The doors of virginity were sealed, virginity. So he entered the Virgin Mary the same way that he left the tomb. All the doors were closed. And in our reflection, there are some of the fathers who look at some of the Old Testament biblical figures who are types of Christ, like Joseph, for example. Joseph came out of prison so that he might be a deliverer of all of Egypt. Well, Christ our Savior came out of the tomb as a victorious king, so he would be the savior of the whole world. Just as Daniel the prophet came out of the lion's den unscathed, unharmed, nothing touched him, so too in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, St. Paul phrases it very clearly. He says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Nothing happened to him. Death couldn't swallow him up. So whoever desires to enjoy the splendor of the Lord's resurrection has to experience death first. Just like a grain of wheat needs to be buried before what? Before it resurrects and grows. So it has to, so to speak, die and be buried in the soil before it's resurrected. St. Paul writes, For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. He also continues, and he says, Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If you think about what repentance is, what confession is, you put to death your sin, and then you are resurrected with Christ. It's the same concept. We are buried with him, and we are risen with him. The same concept of baptism. We are buried with Christ, and we are risen when we come out of the baptismal font. St. Paul writes, Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And St. John Chrysostom comments, he says, Indeed, the Lord confirmed the truth of the resurrection after 40 days by different appearances and numerous forms in order to prove to us that we are engaged in the resurrection for a new life in the likeness of his resurrection in a newness of life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know, in his resurrection became a spiritual heaven, not submitting to the world. Even though he lived in the world, which tells us what? That even though we live in the world, we don't have to allow the world to live in us. So, he lived the heavenly. He lived the spiritual. And St. Paul reminds us of all of the things that are opposite to that, that are contrary to that. He lists a whole host of things that we should avoid. Adultery, fornication, licentiousness, idolatry, uncleanness, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries. We know what to avoid. We know what's out there and to stay far from. But it's important for us to separate ourselves from the world and to leave the cares of the world. Apostle Paul says, The time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep, as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. How many of us, even though we celebrate the resurrection together, how many of us believe in the resurrection and are prepared for the resurrection? You remember the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 who were prepared, the wise ones, and the foolish ones who were not. I remind you also about the road to Emmaus when the two apostles were walking and Christ joined them. Who were the two apostles? Luke and Cleopas. They were walking and Christ joined them and they didn't recognize him. So I want to ask you a question. When Christ joins you in your journey, do you recognize him? Do you notice his presence among you? Do you feel his presence? Again, I remind you about the procession of the resurrection and what it means. How many of us are prepared to give account at the resurrection of all of our deeds on earth? Because it will all be revealed at the last day, at the judgment day. So let's prepare for the kingdom of heaven that's awaiting for us. Remember the martyrs, they yearned for that. They yearned to leave this world because they knew what came after the tomb. Because life doesn't end at the tomb, it begins at the tomb. And they knew that, they believed it, they were confirmed and convicted, and so they marched to their death joyfully, happily. So I hope that we're able to leave the cares of the world and become acquainted with the inner wealth of our Lord Jesus Christ and forget about the heroes of this world. There's only one hero that we attest to. There's only one hero that we abide by. There's only one hero that we want to live in, so that we can be raised with him at the last day. And glory be to God forever. Amen.